That's right. Don't you dare try to muzzle the ox while he is treading at the corn. This is PJ, your internet pastor. That's right. That's right. Telling it like it is. And let me reflect upon, first of all, on this. Let me get the date right. The 2nd of September, 2018, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. This is PJ. This is a holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend. And I'm going to start off this presentation today with the Queen of Soul. I have to do that as a commemoration for her. And I'm going to also speak of Meghan McCain. I just watched her statement at her father's funeral. I think it was something fantastic. And then I'm going to talk a little bit more about the eulogy at Aretha's funeral. And I'm just excited about that. But I'm going to play Respect right now because I love the record. It's one of my favorite records. And I'm keying it in. I keyed it in. And let's see what happens. Aretha's going to lead us off, I think. And I'm glad that you could meet with me here. Let me do this. Come on, Aretha. Talk. Telling you, I have to open up this webcast with that. The eulogizer at her funeral, okay? And just let me say this for those of you that are millennials, because I think that if you're so young and you're not, and you may not be millennials, you just may not understand the world that you live in, okay? Because what the pastor said was true. And I'm not gonna cloud it. Just like, you know what, I was looking at some snippets on YouTube of the John McCain funeral, and his daughter Meghan McCain. Man, if she didn't lambazzle Trump. And she did it with intelligence and brilliance, because Megan is on an intellectual level like my daughter. It's just a brilliant female in a class of her own. I also must add that watching President Obama and President Bush speak and give their eulogies of John McCain was something that draw tears to my eyes. I mean, I'm just sitting in the Lucy Coleman studio here just relishing in it. But let me come back to it. The preacher at Aretha's funeral was not being disrespectful in any way towards black people. He's lived a long time, very well known. And I am not a hooper. When I was a preacher, I was more of an expositor. I didn't hoop, and I used to call it clowning behind the pulpit, because I've always felt that black people needed somebody to set the record straight. And this is what it meant in the Greek. That's why I appreciated what he said when he was, and I rewatched it because someone put the entire eulogy up on YouTube, and I connected it to my Facebook, if you haven't heard the whole eulogy. And I just think that it was a fantastic job by the preacher. Now, he wasn't talking about black people. He was saying it like it is. Where are our fathers? I'm going to tell you the truth. Yesterday, I was sitting in the parking lot. I was going to go shopping and buy a few things. You know, my little check came in, so I said, well, I better put some more food in the house. And I was sitting in the car, and I fell asleep behind the wheel because I have to give my heart rest. And the phone rung. And it was from one of our state prisons. And so, of course, they asked me, would you receive the phone call? Well, yes. And it was a young man that I love dearly that I counseled a number of years ago. I won't give his name or anything like that, but he's in prison, and he won't be getting out until he's, unless they give him some kind of a reprieve. He went in his early 20s, and he won't get out until maybe right before he's 50. I'll probably be dead when he gets out. We spoke. Guess what he said? He said, I love you, Junie. I love you and I miss you. And I said, man, I miss you too. And I tried to make for a funny. I said, hey, man, you know, you got an extra bunk there. Can I come there and spend the night? And he laughed and says, no, they won't let you in here. I know that. And I asked him a question. This is what I asked him. Has any of your family and friends, since you've been in prison for a crime that he deserved, come to visit you? And he said, no. You know what? And I am so glad. I am so glad that my phone just rung here, because, well, isn't it something? You're always calling me, my friend. You're always calling me as I'm in the midst of doing a webcast, right? Hi there, sweetheart. How are you? So I tell you, thank you. Love you. Take care, man. All right. Yeah, bye. Now, that's what I'm talking about. A male friend of mine calling me from New Jersey on the holiday weekend, trying to check me out. So, what are you doing, John? What do you think I'm doing? My goodness. So let me get back to it. He said no. No one in his family has come to see him. Not his father, not his mother, nor his brothers or sisters. And he was with me a few months. I helped him out, trying to get him employed, talking with him, sharing with him. And I wrote him when he went to prison. And I wrote him more than once. And he called me. No one in his family. Now, I'm going to, as long as I live, Anyhow, I'm going to invest in this man's life, in his mind. And though he's there in prison, why won't his black family go see him? They may be ashamed of what he did. We're all ashamed of what we do. All, you know what the Bible said? I remember the verse. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I know when we think that we're so sophisticated and we're so right and all this kind of stuff, all have sinned. But man, not even to write him? To say, I miss you? Not even his own mother? And that young man knew that I would pick up the phone and talk with him. And when I get some more money, put some more money on my phone. And so that I can, or he can speak to me from time to time, because that keeps his head level. That's the kind of a man I am. And you're not going to muzzle me. You're not going to muzzle me. Because some of you think, as I go back to the eulogy for Aretha, some of you think that the preacher was wrong for saying what he said concerning Aretha's father and Aretha and his own life. Well, that's what a eulogizer does. The eulogizer looks at the person and tells the truth. And in telling that truth, I want black people to know, because I may be an internet pastor, I may not be in one of these big, beautiful churches with all the pews spread around and the cameras and the screens and the praise teams, and I may not have all of that at my disposal, but I'm still that man that I was. And I agree with that pastor that eulogized Aretha, and I believe that Aretha has, if she has any kind of consciousness, she agrees too. She agrees too. What I love about my sister is that she came up here in these here United States and lived the black woman's life. Yeah, she was married. She loved men. She loved singing about it. But you're not going to muzzle me. Because a lot of people, you know, I want to comment to a preacher friend that I called and asked him, was he listening to the eulogy? And he asked me, did I agree with what the eulogizer said? And I said, 100%, every word. You see, now let me put some clarifications on black lives don't matter. How can you say that black lives matter if a racist white cop kills a black man? A young black man, you know that life mattered. That preacher knows that life mattered. But what that preacher was trying to do was to get you to understand that when you're in the street, because this is Memorial Day weekend, I have a sister and a nephew that live in Chicago. A nephew in his, what is he? Must be going on, getting close to 30 now. And I mean, I worry about that boy all the time, because he can be shot down in the street like a stray dog. Why in the hell? You tell my Black Lives Matter, and you're around here shooting, stabbing, raping the sisters. And you know what? Some of you even got offended because I had on my little social network thing, why didn't they let Louis Farrakhan speak? And we know what that's all about, Baptist rhetoric and ignorance that has been shrouding the pulpits for generations. People like Jesse Jackson, L. Sharpton, I'm sorry for Jesse, he's ill now. And L. Slickhead L., he's going to always look like a pimp. But L.'s losing weight. L.'s probably sick too, just don't want to give on to it. Just like I'm sick, like I'm ill. Open heart surgery and all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. When we live in a world where black men are killing other black men, selling them dope, keeping their head in a cloud, literally in a cloud. And you've heard me make positive statements about medical marijuana. It is good for my depression. I don't get depressed 24 hours a day, so I don't have a smoke cloud. I like the oil that they have out now, because that helps me. And then one of my future webcasts, I will be sharing with you about depression because I suffer from it. And at the same time, I refuse to take meds that they give you in the doctor's office for depression because that just messes you up. So I'm not going to do that. I'm glad the people are coming clean with a lot of stuff now because there's just so much going on out there. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to another album right here. Thank you, Aretha, for respect. And I respect Aretha and respect her singing abilities. Now I'm going to ask you, do you know who you're listening to? Because I'm going to play another lady, and she was well known, and I'm just going to let her start singing, and hopefully you can pick up on it. Dinah Washington, one of my daddy's favorites. Recorded live August 14th, 1954, 2 years before my mother died. I was 10 years old. people, that is where it was years ago. Now, you know what? Let me jump on the church folk, because see, church folks, now why are you listening to that music? Because it is a part of my heritage. It is a part of my roots. It is a part of what I grew up listening to when I was a kid. It is beautiful music. It rings sweetly in my ear. But I want to talk about the kind of music that we listen to today. And I'm going to let a young man that you're very familiar with, and that he's in church, sing it in a way that you know what happened. Now, let's go back to Aretha's funeral, right? You didn't see if there were any rap singers there. You didn't see no rap singers like Lil Wayne and Drake and all these people that talk about how they misuse black women and slinging their dope and all that stuff up there talking at the pulpit. Now, why didn't the organizers of the Queen of Soul have those kind of people speaking at her funeral? Why? You want to try to surmise an answer for that? Well, let me give it to you. Why they didn't do it? Because it would have been embarrassing. It would have not only, you know, just as embarrassing as the girl up there in the diaper. I don't know what that was. And I don't know these people. One looked like a white woman, but she was a black woman. I guess that was Faith Hill. I don't know these people. And they obviously have no respect for the classics because they didn't sing it appropriately. That's why I could really appreciate the classical singer that they had singing at Aretha's homegoing. But thank God they didn't have people like Snoop Dogg and those kind of dope-pushing fiends even speak at that funeral. Just like you would not expect some of these entertainers to appear at John McCain's funeral. See, I'm talking about class here. What happened to our community? What happened? What happens to our community when, my goodness, if you have a funeral of one of these rappers, what kind of people do you think are going to attend that? You're going to have one of those little things to check on people's guns to see if they have it. But Smokey Norfolk says it well on his premiere album. I want to play it, a number for you. Excuse me for coughing into the mic. That was rude. But realize that I'm not the smartest guy. Smokey's going to share it. Smokey Norfolk telling us like it is where we are.
You know, I was looking at the condition of the world the other day.
Yeah.
It seems there's too much killing, too much dying, too much pain. I don't know about you, but I'm tired. Tired of the same old sad song. Sitting at the window of life, watching the world go by. Seeing little brothers and sisters with pain and fear in their eyes.
You better sing it, Smokey, sing it.
Wishing I could take them and make them all my own. Giving them hope and peace instead of that same old sad song.
Same old song.
I will sing unto you a new song. A song about love and peace and joy. For every man, girl, and boy. And I'm tired of singing about the perils of this life. Seems the world is only moaning and groaning with misery and strife. It's the same old sad song. Man.
the street.
Hurting and so in need. Wish I could take the whole world and place it at his feet. I wish I could change his walk and give him a brand new tone. Giving him health and joy instead of that same old sad song. I will sing unto you a new song. Song about love and peace and joy for every man, girl, and boy. And I'm tired of singing about the perils of this life. Seems the world is only mourning and groaning with misery and strife. It's the same old sad song.
That is just what Jasper Williams was saying. That is just what Jasper Williams was saying. I'm sorry for this pretty bad connection in my mic somewhere. But that's just what Jasper was saying. Same old sad song. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. It needs to end. Yeah. I think we're all tired of it. But what we have to do is we have to own up to it. And Smokey Norful is the son of a preacher. The name of the album is Smokey Norful, I Need You Now. Where he featured in that album, he needed God in his life. And that's all Jasper was saying. Okay, I'm back. I was thinking about something else as I was trying to trying to give some clarification to some things. When you are at, and I'm speaking like this because what surprises me is that we are so quick to try to follow a God-like, a non-Christian-like mentality when it comes to dealing with the things in our world. You know, we don't want to bring God into the picture. We would rather handle the situation and leave God and righteousness and all that out of it. If you watch the whole event like I did, a lot of the people, like the Clintons and the other people, they left before the preaching of the eulogy started. That would have been outrageous if that had happened at the McCain funeral. If someone had gotten up and just left the McCain funeral before all of the people, and Megan spoke, and the eulogizer, the preacher of the church spoke. That would have been impossible. Impossible. But we see, and we saw what happened at, well, number one, it was too long. Aretha's funeral was too long. But let me say it, and I'm going to say it. I'm outspoken. I know that I'm outspoken. I know you're not going to like this. Some of you aren't going to like it, but that preacher, whoever his name is, Ellis, he is the worst kind of opportunist that you can have officiate. I was never seeking the cameras in the pastorate that I had. Now, some people would say, well, John, you don't have anything now. You never had anything then. You wasn't nothing. I understand. I hope I never met you before, because it was never my hope to try to be anything. But with God, it made me. My goodness. But we have that mentality going all through the church. That, you know, these people want to be something. I have a lot more music here to play. And, no, I don't want to play. I was going to play a little bit of, let me play this number by John Legend. I like John Legend. John Legend has a very unique voice. And it's from an album of his called Once Again. I think this was his second album, if I'm correct about that. And I'm going to play a number called Heaven. Yeah, you know, just Heaven. And I want you to listen to this. I think it's a beautiful song, and it needs to be heard. John Legend, then I'll be back. Sing to us, brother. Beautiful voice.
Heaven only knows, heaven only knows. Heaven only knows, heaven only knows.
Hiding your mind, where the end will go. best night. Stand for a second chance. Turn to me, hold me, and we can start to dance.
Heaven only knows. Thank you, John Legend. And no. I was away from the microphone. I like some of his music, not all of his music. I think that the second album was a leap into the dark. John trying to find himself, and he did. I'm going to play a number now from a man that has found himself. He found me at one of the lowest ebbing points of my life when I first heard this man. And after, where's the album at? After I had come, here it is. After I come into contact with him, I went a couple of blocks from where I live. It was a Bible bookstore there. And I picked up this album by Richard Smallwood. It's a great little album called Richard Smallwood with Vision. Persuaded. Live in D.C. As a matter of fact, I was so impressed that I purchased the VHS of it. And it was just a great album, and I'm going to play a number as I end up this webcast. No, I'm going to end up the webcast with Ray Charles, but I want to end up this portion of it. And I keep looking out the window because there's an LAPD unit right outside of the window of the Lucy Coleman studio. I think my neighbors are getting ready to throw this huge, huge party for the weekend. Anyway, let me play this number. And when you hear this number, I think this number is indicative of, because I was going through a lot of pain in my life. A lot of pain, and I didn't see a way out. I'm going to see if I could, and I'm just going to talk freely as I try to find the song, because you guys listen to me, and you know I don't try to put on airs. And, I know who that was. That LAPD officer is a friend of my neighbor's. And I knew that he had become a cop. I didn't know he was working in this divisional area. Wow. I want to play this number. Because it is moving when you listen to it. And twice as moving when you see it in person on the VHS system. And it's cut number 13 on this album. And it's not an unlucky number 13. It is cut number 13 called Hold On. And I think that if Jasper Williams had Richard Smallwood was there playing during the first part of that, but if they envisioned had played this right before Jasper gave the eulogy, I think it would have been perfect. Listen to Richard Smallwood and the male singers starting off singing this masterful piece, asking the black men to hold on. They're going to start talking about the pain that we go through. Listen.
Heartaches may come.
That's right.
Teardrops.
Listen.
May fall. Seems like no one's there for you.
Seems like it ain't nobody there. Friends, listen.
All gone.
They're all gone. That's right.
You
feel what?
Alone.
You feel alone.
Be strong. God has a plan for you.
Now, switch it. Let another brother start singing. What you got to say, bro?
Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on to him.
Listen.
Let me hear me you. Your valley is there for me.
The brother said that your valley is temporary.
Oh, if it is
you.
Don't
never let go of your hand. See, that's record right there. I must have played it over and over and over when my wife passed away, because I couldn't figure out how I was going to make it. And I had to remind myself, again, he'll never let go of your hand. That's why Jasper said what he said, people. Jasper wasn't trying to come against Black Lives Matter and all that, but he was saying to the young millennials, y'all stop acting the fool. I got to tell you what I saw when I was in the supermarket yesterday. I said, I want me some ice cream. I did. I said, I want me some ice cream and some cookies. And I love, let me see if I got the cookies here. I think I do. Yeah, here they are. Oh, these are the best cookies. They're made by, you hear the wrapper there. They're made by Mother's. Mother's Taffy. Dolce de Loche. In other words, they come in a new shape, but they're the same delicious flavor. It's too many calories in it. A lot of sweet, but I got me some Mother's cookies and some ice cream. And after I have lunch today, I'm going to make a little bowl of ice cream. While I was in the store checking out Ralph's Market in the Black community, I'm in line and there were two young Black ladies ahead of me. Couldn't have been more than 21, 22 years old. And one of them had a child sitting in the basket of the shopping cart. And you know the way it is. You have food, you roll the shopping cart up to the little table there, and you put the food on it. And well, right next to the shopping cart was the things, you know, you can buy your little breath mints and candy bars and things like that. But the baby start picking up things off of there and just throwing it on the floor. The women saw it. I'm waiting on them to immediately say, stop that. You know, you don't do that. And so, after about 8 pieces of stuff was thrown on the floor, and they weren't going to do anything, and there was a Black lady behind me, and I just turned to her and said, Lord have mercy, this is a mess. I said, I can't stand it, because if anybody trips on this stuff, they can be hurt. And then, after I picked up the things and put it, and I didn't say anything to the parents or whatever they were to this child, the child stands up in the basket area, tries to stand up, and the girls are so busy talking to each other. And I said, no, 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 sit down, sit down. And the lady behind me just shuddered, because if the baby had fell, it could have broke his neck. And the parent wasn't paying attention. And the baby, after the parent sat down, went back to get the things and throw it on the floor again. And I looked at the child. I guess the child sensed the Spirit of God in me, or the parenting in me. And I said, no, 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 young son, you don't do that. You don't touch anything unless you have the right to touch it. That's what I told him. Keep your hands off of things. That doesn't belong to you. And the girls just looked at me. They didn't say anything. They laughed and they walked off. And the lady behind me said, sir, that is our community. Now, I want to tell you something. You can listen to Richard Smallwood sing Hold On. You can listen to Smokey Norville sing his song, the same old sad song. But until we get a grip in this country, and let me say this, Megan, the daughter of the senator from Arizona that passed away, I dedicate that song to her, Hold On, to his hand, also to the children of Aretha Franklin and the family, Hold On to his hand. Because see, if Aretha left over $20 million to that family, Lord have mercy, you know some pimps are going to try, including that Ellis guy, they're going to try to go through that money. Oh, they're going to go through that money. Y'all kids need a vacation. Well, how about letting the pastor go on that vacation with you? And so we owe ourselves a cruise. Well, I think you need a bigger house, a bigger car. I think you need... See, that's what those preachers do. I know them. You better trust this old black preacher. Just like Jasper Williams knows them. But I want to play a number now, which is in dedication to both families, the McCain family, as well as Aretha's family. I want to dedicate this because this song is indicative of what we all need to listen to. I love it. It depicts who we are. And I want to make sure that I have the right number keyed in to this thing, because I want the drummer to start playing the drums and Ray Charles to start singing to us. That's it. Sing to us to bring our mind back. I'm going to end up the show with a tribute to our great country, the United States of America.
Oh, beautiful, our heroes proved in liberating strife. Who more than self? Our country loved and a mercy won life. America, America, may God thy gold refine. Amber waves of grain, my purple mountain majesties. On me, he gave me the crown.
of you to think that you can muzzle this ox, you are completely out of your mind. Thank you for offering up prayers for my life. I'm still a little weak, recovering from this open heart surgery. I have to slow down like my doctors told me. I have to eat right. But can I have a little cookies and ice cream on Memorial Day? I know it's a lot of fat content. I'm not going to eat the whole thing. I just bought a pint of ice cream. Not a lot, right? Hey, God bless you. And you know the drill. Whatever you do, stay in the Word of God. If you want to read the Quran, read the Quran. Read the Book of Buddha. Whatever you want to do, but stop killing other people. The God that created all of us wants us to live in harmony and peace. Thank you, Ray Charles. Thank you, Aretha Franklin. Thank you, John McCain. Thank you, Lord.